1, 2, 3. Clint, I was recently on the website of a popular mid-sized music venue, looking at the calendar of upcoming shows. Of the 15 shows listed on its website, 13 of the shows were tribute acts. Put another way, only 2 bands in the upcoming month were playing original music. In this episode, we pay tribute to tribute bands and their legendary names. Welcome to The Age-Old Question. I'm Rich Price.
And I'm Clint Bierman. Each episode deals with another question in music fandom.
The kind of questions that Clint and I have been debating since we were in college.
So today, with the help of some smart people, we're going to come up with the answer.
Okay, Clint, what's today's question?
Today's question is, what is the best tribute band name of all time?
That's the age-old question. So, Clint, not all tribute bands are created equal.
That is the truth.
There are some bad ones.
There are some bad ones.
But there are also some great ones.
Some where you almost better than the original in a way, which is fascinating. And the thing about tribute bands is there's 2 types of tribute bands. There's the tribute band of a band that no longer exists, where a member is dead or they just don't tour anymore.
And there's no chance of seeing that.
No chance of seeing that. But then there's this fascinating part of the industry where there's just bands playing the same catalog as the band you could go see next Thursday.
But that band is not coming to Des Moines.
Or if they are, they're coming once every 3-4 years. And you want to see them every Tuesday.
Right.
Or whatever.
It's become a big thing. And I'm interested in discussing why that is. The cynical view is that people are just less interested in expanding their musical tastes.
I would agree with that, actually, yeah.
And they want to relive the songs that they know and love.
And we've talked about that so many times on this podcast, about how you get lodged into the music that you love between the ages of 12 and 16. That's like your wheelhouse of music, and you sort of live there for the rest of your life.
In some ways, the idea for this episode came in a previous episode when we were talking to our friend Jeff Simons.
I have a friend who plays in an Eagles cover band called the Illegals, and they are super good. They packed houses.
By the way, the Illegals is such a great cover name.
So
isn't that
good.
Fantastic? I know. Oh. Jeff, you and I know Monroe Brisman. He's in Petty Theft.
Petty Theft and I go way back. I love
wow.
those guys.
Petty Theft, the Illegals. Great names both. These guys are playing sold-out shows to 2,000-seat venues.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some of the great names.
Okay. First of all, the tribute band name is split up into 2 categories from my research. The first one is the pun.
Right.
The pun on the name of the band.
Yes.
And there is absolute gold. About to happen right
gold.
Now. The second one is where they take a song of their catalog.
Like a key lyric.
Key lyric or a key song title and make that the band name.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to start with one.
Yeah.
Non Jovi.
That's
Bon Jovi tribute act. Good one to start. Non Jovi.
Well, I'll see your Non Jovi and I'll raise you Foe Fighters.
The Foe Fighters. F-A-U-X.
F-A-U-X.
There's also the Foo Fakers.
That's the other thing, is I love going down like to
the same band. Yeah.
For AC/DC, an all-lady AC/DC tribute band, AC/DC.
Yeah. There's a lot of AC/DC tribute bands. I have another all-female AC/DC tribute band, Hell's Bells.
Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Hell's Bells!
And there's this whole play on all female groups doing a male band and all male band doing female. For example, there's an all male band called Mandonna for Madonna, and they do all Madonna songs, but they're all men.
I made it through the wilderness. Somehow I made it through.
There's an AC/DC tribute band in Kansas City, and they're called KCDC.
Oh, so good.
That's pretty
good. Such a good play. Here's one.
Yeah.
Deft Leppard. Very cool, right?
That's
instead
very
of Def Leppard, Deft.
Well, and then there's the all women cover band of Led Zeppelin, Les Zeppelin. You need cooling, baby, I'm not fooling. I'm gonna send you back to school. Or the reggae version, Dread Zeppelin.
And that band is fronted by a 300-pound Elvis impersonator.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah. People talking all about the way you left me flat. But I don't care what those people say. I know where that jive is at. But one thing I do have on my mind, and it terrifies me too. The way you call me another guy's name when I try to make love to you. How about this one?
Yeah.
The Kaiser Chiefs.
Oh, that's good.
That's good.
That's really good. What about this one for Oasis? Oasish.
That's my number one. That was my favorite one.
That's
Oasish. And there's another one for Oasis. No Way Sis. N-O space W-A-Y space S-I-S.
Oh, that's good.
No Oasis. Slowly walking down the hall, faster than a cannon ball.
Where were you while we were getting high? That's really good. What about Slack Babbitt?
Slack Babbitt. And there's Mac Sabbath. They all dress up as McDonald's characters. So like the burglar, the hamburglar, the guy in a cheeseburger hat with horns.
Incredible.
Or no, he's the guitar player. How's one going to cry? Oh,
my stomach is well alive. What a niche.
What a niche. And that's the thing.
Right.
And then there's bands like Pink Talking Fish, which is like a mashup of Pink Floyd, Talking Heads, and Fish.
Right.
And they've just found their little niche. They make a living touring, playing, but it's three bands instead of one band.
And the Venn diagram of those three bands, they've just figured out there's enough people who are like, oh, I'll go see a Pink Floyd tribute band or a
right.
Fish tribute right. band right. or a Talking
Yeah. Head.
An ABBA tribute band called Bjorn Again.
Yeah. You can dance, you can jive, having the time of your life. Yes, that's good. There's actually a Dave Matthews tribute band called the Dave Matthews Tribute Band.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Because it's the Dave Matthews Band.
Right.
Right.
Dave Matthews Tribute Band. I thank y'all so much for coming and hanging out with us this afternoon at the Duplo Music Hall with the DMTV. Come check us out on Facebook, on Instagram, and all that social media stuff. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much, everybody.
All right, a couple Nirvana tribute band names.
Okay.
Nirvana.
Nirvana.
That's good.
I got another one.
Yeah.
Novana. I love
that. Or speaking of Nir, how about a Steely Dan cover band? Yeah. Nearly Dan.
So good. Gotta wonder what came first, the band name or the actual band? Like,
totally,
they were sitting around, come up with these names. I saw a band in Denver, Colorado called Super Diamond, and it was a Neil Diamond tribute act. And this was before the tribute act thing started. Like, there was a time period, maybe in the late 2000s,
right,
where it started, right? Or maybe even early 2010s.
Yeah.
And this was way before that. This guy was incredible. I saw that same year. I saw Super Diamond and I saw Neil Diamond at the Pepsi Center. Neil Diamond was better, but not by much.
Where it began, I can't begin to know, but then I know it's growing strong.
This guy crushed it, sounded exactly like him, looked like him, kick-ass band. It was super fun, especially going to a band like that.
Right.
Because it's cheesy, it's fun, you know all the songs, but they don't take themselves too seriously.
Right.
Whereas, like, I'm sure Def Leppard
takes it super seriously.
they take it super seriously. Yeah. ZZ Top tribute called ZZ Topless.
What about a Van Halen tribute band called Sham Halen?
that's the ones I like. Where it's like a play.
Where they're just sitting around being like, what if there was a tribute band called Sham Halen?
Yeah.
And they're like, you know what? Let's do it.
Let's do it. It's almost the same as the Rolling Stones tribute band, the Rolling Clones.
I heard, and I don't know if it was the Rolling Clones, but I heard that for a while the Rolling Stones had a tribute band as their soundcheck band.
Oh my lord. And just toured the world.
Just toured the
world. Never play for an audience, but play in these massive stadiums.
Wow.
That's reminiscent of when Metallica recorded their All Covers album.
Yeah.
They had a Metallica tribute band open up for them and play all Metallica songs, and then they played all covers.
No kidding.
Isn't that cool?
That's amazing.
That is really cool.
Kid Rock cover band, Kid Mock.
That's the one. That's what I'm talking about. Oh man. How about Deep Purple band, Cheap Purple.
Oh, that's really good. So, Herman Melville, the great American novelist of the 19th century, best known for writing Moby Dick, he said, "It's better to fail in originality than to succeed in imitation." Melville, I'm guessing, would have never joined a tribute band. But another writer, George Bernard Shaw, best known perhaps for writing the play Pygmalion, which would later be adapted into a musical under the name My Fair Lady, he had a different view. He said, "Imitation is not just the sincerest form of flattery, it's the sincerest form of learning." And I think you and I can appreciate that, right?
Yeah.
I've roped you in to being the music director for probably 20 tribute bands.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Over the course of
yes.
the last 10 years.
Yes.
And each time you say, "Rich, that's it.
That's
it.
Never
I'm not doing that again. Because it's so much work.
Right.
And each time I convince you to do
of
it.
Of course.
Speak to that about like the education and the learning that you've experienced from going so deep on each of these artists.
It's literally the most important part of my musical education. I truly believe that. Because it teaches you every aspect of songwriting. Because you see that Elton John doesn't write bridges. You see that Led Zeppelin does this. You see that Paul Simon does this all the time. And you learn these tricks of songwriting. But you also learn performance.
And arrangement.
Arrangement. Vocals. Like the harmonies in Queen or the Beatles are so intense.
And you can, even as a fan of that music, listen to that over and over and miss some of those things.
Big time. But doing the deep dive and learning the solos note for note, that's another thing. It's given me licks. Learning Hotel California note for note, the guitar solo at the end,
yeah,
taught me everything I need to know about guitar solo.
Can you give me a lick or two?
It's this.
That lick? Oh, man, that's like the...
It's also about celebrating a catalog with a group of people. It's this camaraderie where you're celebrating and you're all in it together. What a lesson to learn. And that's all through doing these nights of tribute.
Of the many tribute nights we've done Paul Simon, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Allman Brothers Eat a Peach, Van Morrison Moondance, Sgt. Pepper's, Synchronicity by the Police, Led Zeppelin 4,
yeah.
Guns N' Roses, An Evening of Motown, Elton,
Queen,
The Stones.
Stones.
Bob Marley.
Oh my God. Last
Waltz.
The band. And we're not talking like three or four tunes. You're talking about a 2 to 3 hour show of these artists.
Right.
And you learn how to solo like the person. You learn how they approach the instrument, whether they're playing pentatonically, whether they're playing modally, there's so much involved in learning.
So that's like 15 to 20 tribute shows times 20 to 30 songs.
Yeah, that's a lot of songs.
It's
a lot of songs. As if everybody here would know exactly what I was talking about. We're talking about diamonds on the soles of the shoes.
I read an article about people who devote themselves to being in tribute bands. And I was interested to know, like, is it for some people soul crushing or is it creatively, artistically rewarding? And I read a quote that probably captures the feeling that most people in successful tribute bands experience. It's from a woman named Chrissy Griffith, who plays in a Talking Heads tribute band called Fear of Music. She said, "I did struggle a little bit with the idea of it at first. I thought, is this ethically something I want to do? Gee, how square could it be to play someone else's music? But to play to a room full of people who are losing their minds, it's incredibly rewarding in ways I didn't expect it to be." We can relate to that, right?
Big time.
When you start playing a song and the whole room erupts,
yeah.
Like, oh my God, this is the song that I...
For right now.
I want to hear
yeah.
right now.
Yeah. That part is awesome. The part that I don't understand is the making your entire living off of it. It's such a fascinating thing. It's where is the boundary between being able to do that legally? Like if you're in a, let's just talk about Fish for a second.
Yeah.
If you're in a Fish tribute band.
Yeah.
And there are probably 25 names right here on my list of different bands throughout the country.
Fish tribute bands.
They just play Fish. But I can see Fish anytime.
Right.
And some of these bands are doing well, touring all year long, selling out rooms all over. I don't know the legality of that.
And again, like you're giving the audience something that it's craving.
Yep.
And you're playing music presumably that you love.
Right. I was in a Fish tribute band for a while.
Huh.
And it was so fun. But I can't imagine personally making my living that way. But that's just me personally.
I want to talk to two people that are in tribute bands.
Great.
The first, I mentioned him earlier, Monroe Grisman. He's in Petty Theft, which is a Bay Area-based Tom Petty band. They have a massive following, and they fall into that category of you can no longer see them live.
Yes.
Tom Petty live. Let's call Monroe.
Can't wait.
Oh, and by the way, Monroe comes from a musical family. His dad is the famous mandolin player, David Grisman.
We're going to talk to David Grisman's son?
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
So Monroe, thank you so much for being a part of this. Today's question, what is the greatest tribute band name? But it's led us into a deeper conversation about the craft and the art of tribute bands. And you're obviously an incredible musician. I've followed your musical career for 20 plus years. And in that time, you've been part of a really beloved and celebrated tribute band to Tom Petty called Petty Theft.
No, I won't back down.
And I want to ask you about that. First of all, how did the band come about?
The band actually has a 18, 19 year history. The current lineup of the band has been together. The core has been together for 12 years now and still going, you know, so it's a lot of fun. As you know, I was in all original bands for most of my musical career. Actually, I got offered to be in the band when I was still in American Drag, that original band. I think you probably remember those guys.
I remember coming to see you guys in American Drag.
And I had actually turned down Petty Theft because I was like, hey, I'm playing the Great American Music Hall and Slims with my original band. I don't really need to be in a cover band. But then I got asked again when I had nothing kind of going on. And I was like, well, hey, if there's one artist that would be fun to do that with, it would be Tom Petty, because the catalog of songs is just so vast. There's just so much to dig into there. And at the time, you know, there were plenty of Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and Beatles. But at the time, I didn't know of any Tom Petty tribute bands, although I learned there that there were some. And of course, after Tom passed, that number is probably doubled. Yeah, part of it for me was kind of like, oh, that's some great music, great songs. I've always been a lover of great songs. And it's funny, I've always kind of, the word tribute, you know, over the years has kind of gotten this connotation of bands that, you know, dress up like the band and play specific gear. And we've never been about that. We've always been more about celebrating the music. And, you know, while we try to honor certain things and play certain parts accurately and, you know, I'm not going to mess with the guitar line and breakdown. You know, you got to play that right, right? You know. I like to tell people we're a celebration and not really a tribute. Although, since he passed, the word tribute kind of has a whole nother connotation to it, you know what I mean?
No, it's interesting. That word can be really loaded for some people, and it can be a negative connotation.
There's a lot of musicians out there that I think have some hostility towards you know, tribute and cover bands, so to speak. And they feel like you know, when they look on a calendar and it's being, you know, taken up by tribute bands, there's some resentment there that, especially if they're struggling in their career with their original music. And everyone in our band still does original music and does stuff on the side. So I remind people, you know, just because we're in a tribute or a cover band or whatever you want to call it, doesn't mean we're not, you know, regular musicians that also still write and create our own music. That being said, you know, my answer to all of that kind of is, you know what, there's good original bands and there's bad original bands, and there's good tribute bands and there's bad ones. At the end of the day, that's still musicians. It took us year 6 or 7 before we started headlining rooms, and definitely to the place where we are now, it took a long time, you know.
I want to ask you too, Monroe, grew up in a musical family, your dad, Dave Grisman. How early did music hit you?
I don't know. It might have been when I was in the womb, because my mom was playing bluegrass. She's playing stand-up bass in one of my dad's bluegrass bands, apparently, when she was pregnant with me. So she always likes to tell me how, you know, she was wondering how that was affecting me at that point. You know, literally the bass is like reverberating on her belt. You know, I'm right there. When I was like 6 or something, he saw me really getting off on violin playing, probably because, you know, somebody like Mark O'Connor or Stephen Grappelli was playing fiddle in my living room. But it wasn't until I was about 12 or 13 that I got into guitar. I went out and I got my own guitar, and to his disappointment, it was an electric guitar, but Jerry was around in my, when they were doing Olden in the Way, I was like 5 years old, although I have some memories of that, you know. But what I remember, you know, Tony Rice and, you know, playing guitar in my living room, and Mike Marshall and Mark O'Connor, and you know, geez, does everybody play guitar like this? took me a while to kind of figure that out. I guess when I started learning how to play, I was like, okay, this doesn't, everybody just doesn't just play like this. It's actually a process.
Do you still have occasions to jam with your dad?
Oh yeah. I mean, basically it's mandatory when I visit him that we, you know, he's handing me a guitar and let's do it, you know, like, and there's always somebody playing around the house. And we never answered your question though.
Who has the best name? The idea for this episode started when we were talking to Jeff Simons. This is many, many episodes ago, but he was talking about Petty Theft and he was talking about the Eagles tribute band, The Illegals.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're like, wow, those are two incredible names.
Yeah, well, you know, the funny thing is Dan Durkin, our lead singer in Petty Theft, he's one of the founding members of The Illegals, too.
I knew there was some cross-pollination.
Yeah, there's some crossover there. And then, of course, I love all the female tribute band names. I mean, they have, you know, the Iron Maidens, you know, Zeppelin, of course, AC/DC. They have a lot to work with there that's really great. But, yeah, I hear a lot from a lot of people that they love our tribute name, you know.
It's just great. I mean, the performance of the music, just so first rate. The name is also fantastic.
Thanks, Rich. Thanks for including me, man. Ciao.
You wreck me, baby. Oh, you wreck me, I'm too. Well, you'll move me, honey. Yes, you do.
All right, that was Monroe Grisman.
Wow, what an honor. That's so cool.
Super cool guy, really good musician, and just very interesting that he has found meaningful success playing the music of Tom Petty.
To me, it's so different when you cannot see the person anymore.
Right.
I would like to see that. I love Tom Petty. I would love to see that band.
Let's call my bandmate Brian Chartrand.
Great.
In addition to being in The Sweet Remains with me, he runs a band called Live from Laurel Canyon, which is in some ways a tribute band. It's a tribute to the music that emerged in the hills of Laurel Canyon in the 60s and 70s. Bands like Buffalo Springfield.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
It's getting to the point where I'm no fun anymore.
Eagles.
There are stars in the southern sky, southward as you go.
He makes a point of not doing super faithful interpretations.
Right.
He is interested in finding his own and maybe a more modern spin on these songs.
Cool.
Oh, hey guys.
Today's question, Brian, is we're talking about the best tribute band names of all time. And we've had a conversation about the craft and the art of the tribute band. You are the leader of a tribute band or a night of tribute music to the music of Laurel Canyon. And wanted to ask you what that's been like to put your own spin on this music.
Interestingly enough, the original name for that project was going to be a tribute to Laurel Canyon. But my buddy, Mike Florio, who started that project with me, didn't want tribute to be in the name because he didn't want people to think that we are trying to replicate, that we're trying to sound like the album. So he wanted us to have the liberty to reinterpret these songs. So I was really grateful for that advice because we're trying to be evocative in the name, but we're also not trying to be a tribute band. So we had to dance the line a little bit. We do a classic Doors song. Their first single was Light My Fire. We do more Jose Feliciano.
No, it would be untrue. No, that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire. time to hesitate.
What's your favorite song to play in that set?
I'm a huge James Taylor fan. We do Fire and Rain. That is one of my favorite songs to sing in the show.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans he made put an end to you. Walked out this morning, wrote down this song. Just can't remember who to send it to. Well, I've seen fire, I've seen rain. Seen some
love. But I also love just being a sideman and just playing rhythm acoustic guitar. And I'm really fortunate to have two other incredible singers that really have their own unique style. So just to support them is really gratifying. But I would have to say James Taylor just because that's my guy. Like JT for life.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, brothers.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Ciao.
Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You gotta help me make a stand. You just got to see me through another day.
I'm in a band right now called the Neon Ramblers. Formerly Dojo. We just changed the name.
I didn't know that.
The Neon Ramblers.
The Neon Ramblers.
Yeah, it's so great because we were having so much trouble with Dojo is such a Googled thing right. that you can't find us. So the neonramblers.com.
Who came up with that name?
Jeffrey. Right. It's like it's a tribute band. It's a tribute to the 80s, but how Brian changes the renditions. We're changing it into all bluegrass songs,
right.
which gives you like a creative way to arrange the songs and stuff.
It's really compelling the way you guys do it. Let's listen to a song by the Neon Ramblers.
It's so fun to figure out what sections have the bluegrass.
On the one hand, you're like, oh, I know that song.
Yeah.
On another level, you're like, how cool that song works as a bluegrass
yeah.
song.
Yeah, wait, what song is this? I know this song. What is it? And then it gets to the chorus, you're like, oh, I get it.
I'm here to stay.
Another funny one.
Yeah.
It's called Mini Kiss, and it's little people in full Kiss garb playing crushing versions of Kiss songs. I highly recommend some YouTube videos of these.
Wanna rock and roll all night. Party every day.
They're wildly successful.
Wildly successful. Yeah.
Mini Kiss.
Mini Kiss. It's just gold. My favorite is one of the greatest things I've ever experienced in my life.
Okay.
And we're going to have to play some cuts.
Okay.
They're a band from Milwaukee, Wisconsin called Beatallica. Beatallica. It's a mashup of Beatles and Metallica. And what they do is they sing Beatles songs in the style of Metallica. Some of their song titles are Hey Dude.
So they're actual Beatles songs. But played in the style
of the Metallica, and the guy sounds exactly like James Hetfield.
Hey, dude, it's true, not
sad.
Take a brass song and make it better. Remember that metal is in your heart. Then you can start to be a friend.
It's so clever and creative, and I think that's what I love about it so much is that not only is it well done in their mashups, genius in finding where the things connect.
The minute you let us under your skin, then you'll begin to be a
That's not my favorite tribute name.
Conceptually, my favorite.
My favorite, I think, is Oasis.
I think Oasis is... they win.
They win.
Oasis.
Congrats, fellas.
Say it out loud. If you're listening to the show, just say that word out loud. It's kind of fun to say.
Did we do it? I think
we definitely did it. I feel good about our choice.
Oh, it's so funny.
We hope you had fun, as much fun as we did, and we hope you'll join us next time when we answer another
age-old question.
Follow us on Instagram at The Age Old Question.
Facebook, The Age Old Question.
We hope this conversation has sparked some ideas and thoughts of your own. Let us know in the comments.
But let's be kind, people.
Yeah.
No hating.
No hating.